Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I just ask that you still my heart and that you speak through me. Father, that it not be my words, but it be your words. And Father, we just will give you the honor and the glory for all that is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The sermon this morning is entitled Biblical Faith. The scripture passage that we'll start with is found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. This is page 107 in the Pew Bibles. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to 3, page 107. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendations. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So a sermon on faith. The first question is, why faith? You might be asking, doesn't anyone who steps foot inside the church have faith? Well, for me, I've struggled over the years on what faith means and the role it plays in the life of a Christian. Is it faith that saves me? Where does my faith come from? As we go through the sermon this morning, I think there'll be others who can identify with their struggles of faith. A side note, as we talk about so much about the Reformation movement, as putting this lesson together, the Reformation movement keeps standing out more and more in the process. We're approaching the 500th anniversary at the end of the year. It's amazing to see what God has influenced at Mayor Community Church through the Reformation. Throughout today's sermon, we will see some of the ties between Mayor Community Church and the Reformation in our church foundation and in our church activities. It all starts with Scripture is the only authority, through grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone, and this is all to the glory of God. So I'd like to start with a couple definitions of faith. The first comes from Gene Taylor. Faith, the Greek term pistos, is the conviction of truth of anything, trust or confidence springing from that conviction. The original Greek term is used especially of the faith by which man embraces Jesus, i.e., a conviction full of joyful trust that Jesus is the Messiah, the divinely appointed author of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God, co-joined with obedience to Christ. The second example, or the second definition of faith, comes from Martin Luther, 500 years ago. This is taken from an excerpt from an introduction to St. Paul's letter to the Romans out of Luther's German Bible of 1522, and it's been translated by Robert E. Smith. Faith is not what some people think it is. Their human dream is a delusion because they observe that faith is not followed by good works or a better life. They fall into error even though they speak and hear much about faith. Faith is not enough, they say. You must do good works. You must be pious to be saved. They think that when you hear the gospel, you start working. You start creating by your own strength a thankful heart which says, I believe. This is what they think true faith is. But because this is a human idea, a dream, the heart never learns anything from it, So it does nothing, and reform doesn't come from this faith either. That's his start of the definition. And I can't help but when I look at that to realize that describes me in my early walk in life. I thought I could do it all. That Western side of us that says, I'm independent, I can do it. And then when I do it by myself, I look back and say, it's not happening. I'm not growing. God isn't blessed with what I'm doing. I'm not getting better. I'm not becoming rich. I'm not becoming famous. Something's wrong. It impresses me to look at that and realize this was written 500 years ago, but it describes me today. The rest of his definition is, instead, faith is God's work in us that changes us and gives new birth from God. And that's from 1 John chapter 1, verse 13. It kills the old Adam and makes us completely different people. It changes our hearts, our spirits, our thoughts, and all our power. It brings the Holy Spirit with it. Yes, it is a living, creative, active, and powerful thing, this faith. Faith cannot help doing good works constantly. It doesn't stop to ask if good works ought to be done, but before anyone asks, it already has been done by them and continues to do them without ceasing. Anyone who does not do good works in this manner is an unbeliever. He stumbles around and looks for faith and good works, even though he does not know what faith and good works are. Yet he gossips and chatters about faith and good works with many words. Faith is a living, bold trust in God's grace. So certain of God's favor that it would risk death 1,000 times trusting in it. Such confidence and knowledge of God's grace makes you happy, joyful, and bold in your relationship to God and all creatures. The Holy Spirit makes this happen through faith. Because of it, you freely, willingly, and joyfully do good to everyone, serve everyone, suffer all kinds of things. Love and praise the God who has shown you such grace. Thus, it is impossible to separate faith and works as it is to separate heat and light from fire. Therefore, watch out for your own false ideas and guard against good-for-nothing gossips who think they're smart enough to define faith and works, but really are the greatest of fools. Ask God to work faith in you, and you will remain forever, or you will remain forever without faith, no matter what you wish, say, or do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hard to believe that it was written 500 years ago. Yet, it comes down to the reality and part of what we're looking at as the Reformation activities that we're coming up on the celebration of. It begins with sola scripture. This is the first pillar of the Reformation movement and the foundation of Mere Community Church. They identify scripture as a single authority of the church. Another way of saying it is where the Bible speaks, we speak. So if we wanted to find faith, we should look to Scripture to find it. So with that, let's go to the first point in your outline. Faith is what? So that was the Scripture that was read in the opening, and we'll read it again. From Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to 3, page 1007. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendations. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Another passage that we can look at is Romans chapter 10, verse 17, and that can be found on page 946. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, page 946. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. In this section, we're looking at faith. It is a conviction and hope because of what God has done. We have a confident expectation. So faith here points to a confident expectation. So how do we give an example of confident expectation? Some of you may know that one of my hobbies is hunting. The part of hunting that I do is always archery. So in archery, I have to have a confident expectation that when I have the opportunity to take a shot at an animal, that I will be successful. Where does that confident expectation come from? For me, in the case of the bow, it takes three elements in the bow. It takes the bow that shoots the arrow, it takes the arrow that strikes the target, and it takes a rangefinder that tells me how far away that target is so that I can use the right sight. In that process, it takes three things to do to be consistent in always shooting the same way. And the three things that I do is I anchor with my hand on my jaw, my bow, and the second thing that I do, I have a kisser button on my bow that gets put in the corner of my mouth. That gives my second reference. And the third thing that I do is I rotate my face so my nose touches the string of the bow. That way I have confidence that what I'm doing, I do every time the same way, and I can be successful in shooting. So the real emphasis in this is I have to do that, but I have to do it constantly. I have to practice, practice, practice. If I don't practice, I don't have the expectation that what I aim at, I will be able to hit. So what we're saying in faith is we have to have a confident expectation. Where do we get that? By being in God's Word. Now, what did Romans say? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The second point in the outline today is faith in what? It's faith in Christ. Using the Reformation term, solo Christo, or Christ alone. We can find this in Scripture in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13, which can be found on page 946. So that's Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13, page 946. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on his name. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Here we're seeing faith in action. In believing God has raised Christ from the dead and confessing it with our mouth and resulting in salvation. The best example that I can use here, as I explained to Kevin earlier, I'm not real fond of the example that gets used quite often in a chair. The reason I've not been fond of the example in a chair is because I say, what faith can I have in a chair? Because that's not things unseen. But as I've gone through studying this lesson, the reality becomes it's not the chair, it's not the confident expectation that when Kevin sits down on this, that it's going to hold him. It's the action. He had no faith until he sat on that chair. And that's what we're trying to say in this section, is until you take action, until you confess that Christ is the Lord, until you show the action of your faith, it's not there. Thanks, Kevin. Oh.
Still getting faith. Come on.
I thought I was just boring you. So another scripture that we can look at in this area, I'm going to say it's a caution. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, and it can be found on page 976. And this scripture says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing, it's the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we have his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we've been saved through faith, and it's not of the works that we do. It's what God has done. It's what Christ has done. We must have faith in them. We must have faith in Christ. We must have faith in God. It's not because we have enough faith to sit on a chair or to shoot a bow that's going to save us. The third point of the outline is faith for what? From Scripture, the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, which can be found on page 1011. That's James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, page 1011. "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet the trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let the steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Count it all joy that our faith is tested. What does the testing of our faith do? It produces steadfastness in us. The next scripture is 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 to 5, page 1023. That's 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 to 5, page 1023. "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that he has overcome, the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" So we're talking steadfastness in these verses. Steadfastness leads to maturity. Are we mature Christians? As it leads to maturity, we are purified as we go through the trials, and our faith is proven to become stronger and stronger. We become more like Christ. We have the promise of eternal life, the promise to be a child of God and to be a bride of Christ, because we have steadfastness and maturity that comes from faith. The fourth point in our outline today is faith. So what? Sola Deo Gloria is one of the points of the Reformation movement, and that is to the glory of God. Reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 9, page 1014 in the Pew Bibles. That's Peter, chapter 1, verse 3 through 9, page 1014. The heading on this one is Born Again to Living Hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the testing genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcoming of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Another scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, which is on page 971 in the Pew Bible. That 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? So what, you ask? This is all for God's glory, not for ours, but for God's. All of what is being done is for the glory of God, the one that's in control. But we must have faith, and we must believe in him. If we don't believe in him, we fail the test. The next scripture that I'd like to reference is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and that's page 1008 in the Pew Bible. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Title in my Bible for this one is Jesus, the Founder and Perfecter of Our Faith. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with the endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the Founder and Perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The Founder and the Perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So one might ask, what's the necessity of faith? Hebrews 11, 6, page 1008 also, so you don't have to turn any pages in your Bible, says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I'll read it again. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So in summary, what are we saying? We're saying that according to God's word, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God, we're Christians and we'll be saved. There is a heaven. And as faithful Christians, we expect to go there. The evidence, the basis for hope, God, who cannot lie, has told us, and we believe him. The application that I see from all of this is that since faith comes by hearing the word of God, we should be going to the scriptures, his inspired word, to learn of him and Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, who lived and died for you. Allow the facts presented in the Bible about them to generate faith in your heart, and then manifest that faith by submitting in obedience to the gospel, God's power unto salvation. So we should be spending time. We should be spending time in God's word. We should be spending time in prayer. And we should be spending time in fellowship with one another as Christians, so that our faith can go strong, because without it, we're lost. Please join me in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word, for your truth. We also thank you for your grace. Father, as we've looked into your word this morning to see some of the examples of faith, Father, I just pray that you would open each and every one of our hearts to understand what faith is, and that it comes from the hearing of the word of Jesus Christ. And Father, I just pray that you would encourage each and every one of us to spend time in your word, that we might grow stronger, be trained and equipped to do your will. And Father, we'll give you all the honor and all the glory. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen.